Talk.com.
You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood, a murder investigation based upon a true story by private investigator Douglas J. Hagman. Using the character Mark Stiles, Hagman takes you on a journey behind the scenes where the homicide becomes a secondary to an underworld of satanic ritual abuse, child abduction, and even mind-controlled experimentation. A world dismissed as conspiracy by those who want to keep its secrets hidden. Exposing the dangers, denials, and deceptions. For 5 years, a brutal killer remained on the loose, free to kill again. As Mark struggles to navigate the maze of bizarre twists and untangle a web of deeply hidden secrets kept by some of the most powerful and influential people in his community and beyond. You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood. Order your copy of this engaging novel today at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood.
Welcome back, folks, to this edition, this hour of the Hagman and Hagman Report. Doug Hagman here at the helm, Joe Hagman, together, something I like to call America's premier father-son investigative reporting team. That's the Hagman and Hagman Report. Before we get back to our programming, and the first hour, the occult symbolism, the occult, large-scale occultism taking place in and out of Hollywood. The entertainment industry, of course, that's big in the news, and I think it's underreported. It's underreported because it's misunderstood. I don't think there's a lot of understanding there, and people tend to just blow it off because, hey, it's just another, you know, another celebrity that assumes room temperature, and usually there's an assumption of drugs, and of course, Prince had this extreme, at least in his early career, this extreme history of talking about sex, drugs, violence, and in particular, this incestuous sexual aspect of things. Before we get back to our program, of course, I want to remind people that Portion is a Nice Broadcast, brought to you by Whole Tones Live. Whole Tones Live, W-H-O-L-E, WholeTonesLive.com. If you're sick and tired of being stressed and overwhelmed and unmotivated, if you are feeling like life is running you instead of you running your life, you're not by yourself. We, of course, feel the same way, but now you can experience the scientifically proven powers of music therapy with Whole Tones. They've got a collection, and I mean it's a great collection of proven music therapy that can help reduce stress. It can ease your mind. It motivates you. You can get started today. You can listen to a free sample first. Just go to the website, WholeTonesLive.com, and listen to a free sample of this amazing music that heals and inspires. And that's at WholeTonesLive.com. We've gotten a lot of emails about this one in particular. I repeat this often because I think it's important. I think this kind of sums up the feedback that we've gotten. One client stated that, you know, I started playing Whole Tones throughout my workday, and I was more creative and more motivated. Plus, the work I was doing seemed easier and clearer. I had more mental focus. Now, we had Michael Terrell on our show, and he explained how this music was inspired by the music frequencies of King David. Folks, go to the website. Go to WholeTonesLive.com and download a free sample at WholeTonesLive.com. Support this broadcast and go to WholeTonesLive.com. That's WholeTones, W-H-O-L-E, ToneslLive.com, WholeTonesLive.com. And definitely do that. And again, I just want to mention, too, our store. There's actually a Hagman Report store it's under construction. It's not done yet. So if you go there, there are items there. However, it's not done, so you can't really check out. But we'll let you know as soon as it's done, and hopefully I can get this done or have it done and get it done by tomorrow, by the show, you know, by tomorrow. And you know, you can get a great t-shirt or mug or whatever and spread the word, because it's fun. It's something that that supports us, but also gets the word out to others. But more on that again, more on that tomorrow. So if you can just hang in there, and we appreciate your patience. Also, one more message as well. My book, Stained by Blood, I do have copies left here at the office. I'd be glad to sign them for you. I'd be glad to personalize them for you. All you have to do is go to stainedbyblood.com, and on the upper right-hand corner there, just order it. Follow the instructions. And real simple. You can order it, and I'll get it right out to you. I'm caught up to date. In fact, if you order it tonight, it'll go out tonight. How's that sound? That's or if you prefer, there's a Kindle edition as well as a paperback edition on Amazon. And they've gotten some very good reviews. And it does kind of introduce, it's an introduction into the into some unsavory topics, but I believe it's done in a manner that you can actually use it to introduce others and say, see, this stuff is going on here, and people need to understand that. So, having said all that, Joe, to you, sir.
We have with us John Robertson, our Hollywood insider, and since then he has become a radio show guest, making several appearances on From Caravan to Midnight to the Hagman and Hagman Report, to speaking at the Hear the Watchman conference that was held in Dallas. Did a great job there, and has got some new endeavors and things coming up down the pike that you're going to want to pay attention to. And we're going to talk about a number of things this hour, from Prince to things that we have coming next week on our broadcast, on our show, with the show that John has helped set up. John, welcome back to the Hagman and Hagman Report.
Well, Joe, thank you so much, and thank you for inviting me to spend some time with you and your dad, and most importantly with each and every one of the Hagman family. And, you know, I'll tell you, the phones in Hollywood today are melting down, and, you know, I'm almost hesitant to say this, but how appropriate that the last visit that I would have with you and your dad from Los Angeles would be, in fact, on the day that Prince died and we received that news. And I kid you not when I tell you that phones are melting down around this town. He was not regarded, he was not necessarily well-liked by the Hollywood establishment for the last several years of his career and his life. And, you know, what I'd like to do, Doug and Joe, with your permission, is invite the Hagman family to right now just to gather around, not the Hagman kitchen table tonight. Folks, I'm inviting you into the Hagman and Hagman boxing ring, and we're going to drop a little sweat and blood on the canvas. But first, with your permission, Doug, I'd like to just say a quick prayer, because we need to invite the Holy Spirit of the risen God into this conversation right here and now.
Let's do it.
Very good. Father God, we just come before you now. We humble ourselves, as did Moses, Solomon, Joshua, and all the great mighty men and women of your living word. Lord God, we need spiritual discernment as we tackle these issues, both as we examine what has happened today in the secular entertainment world. How does it apply to your remnant body, Father God? What can we learn from it? We just need our Ephesians 6 armor placed squarely upon us right now, Lord God. And I just pray in Jesus' name, Father, I pray on this show the prayer that I normally pray in private before joining the Hagman family. And it is simply this, Lord. These are my lips and my mouth that you created, Father God. And I just pray, Lord, that you would move my words in accordance to your spirit and your will, that you would order my steps and those of Doug and Joe, that you would open up the discerning ears of everybody listening to us tonight, Father God. And we humbly ask you, Lord God, to join us right now in the spirit and the power and the authority that raised Christ from the dead so that he may be seated at your right hand, Father God. You've given us the authority in your living word to tread on serpents and scorpions, and that's exactly what we're about to do. And I just thank you for this opportunity. I give you thanks and praise, and most of all for the blood of Christ Jesus, by whom we are redeemed and by whose stripes we are healed. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right, let's jump into it, gentlemen. Really, I've got two things to cover tonight. Was not planning, obviously, on talking about Prince, but I certainly have some insight into who Prince was in his career. I did see him perform once at Staples Center in 2004. Sold out show. The tickets were $400 a piece. It was a big deal in Hollywood at the time. Of course, I was not endeavoring on the faith walk at that time that I do today. And what I want to cover tonight is really I want to encourage folks to open their minds and their hearts to what I see as a massive spiritual brawl. And each of us are to some degree in this fight. And when we look at Prince, my overall thesis tonight with Prince is that if you look at his career, and especially if you look at the careers of some of the musicians that he cultivated and brought up into prominence and fame, you will clearly see a frontline fight between Christian faith, following Jesus Christ, and capitulation into the Luciferian agenda and Satan's army. I'd like to start by talking about the symbol that you touched on last hour. If you look at the symbol that several years ago the artist formerly known as Prince adopted, what you see are really the combination of three things. You see an upside-down cross that marries both the female and male gender symbols. That suggests the androgyny of Baphomet. And then you also see, especially if you strip away the at the 12 o'clock and 6 o'clock positions, the gender symbols, and you take the upside-down cross and remove that as well, what you actually see is a very clean symbol of the Eye of Horus or Osiris. Now, that goes, folks, that goes back to the work of our brother Paul McGuire. And you definitely want to check out his books for more on that. But we learn from Paul that going all the way back to Nimrod, we see the monomyth of the same little g gods brought forth from ancient Egypt, Sumeria, the time of Mosaic Law, all the way up even into the Roman Empire and the time that Christ walked this earth, that these are the same counterfeit representative little g gods that I would suggest by looking at the symbol of Prince we are still dealing with today. Now, I'd also like to point out that Prince's death, we don't know exactly when he died, but according to mainstream news, he died 4 months to the day from the winter solstice. Now, folks, if you go back and check out the archives, Doug and Joe and I did a show last June on the Hagman Report, and I talked a lot about the symbolism and the importance of the winter solstice with the ancient Druidic beliefs of ancient England. I won't go into that tonight, but if that's of interest to you, you might want to check it out. 4 months to the day, Doug and Joe, since the winter solstice, Prince is dead.
Interesting.
It is. Now, Prince, when you look at his life, he was born into a Seventh-day Adventist home. His father later adopted Baptist faith, but he was also a rampant alcoholic. And part of that alcoholism within the family was severe spousal abuse as well. Now, it is rumored here in Hollywood that Prince was perhaps a practitioner of Thelema. Thelema, for the Hagman family, is Thelema. It is one of the primary doctrines of Aleister Crowley, the British Satanist from the 1920s through the 40s. And it is also the primary doctrine of OTO, or Ordo Templi Orientis, which I would venture to say is probably the most prevalent, significant cult in practice in Hollywood today. Again, we've covered this on previous Hagman shows back June 2015 as well as October 2015, so if that's of interest to you folks, you may want to go back and check those out. Prince confirmed his adopted faith into the Jehovah's Witness Church in 2001. Now, it's interesting because right around that same time, a very interesting dialogue occurred between Eric Clapton and a journalist. Again, this is back in 2001. Now, Doug, I'm sure you remember this. Joe, this was a little before my and your time. But back in the mid to late 60s, when Eric Clapton's original band Cream was cranking out one hit after another, there was prevalent graffiti all over England, especially London, Manchester, Liverpool, some of the bigger towns, that where people would spray paint "Clapton is God" on overpasses, walls, you name it, sides of buses. "Clapton is God" was almost a little G God nomenclature that was assigned to Eric Clapton at the time because he was such a guitar virtuoso. In 2000, right around the time Prince announced his entrance into the Jehovah's Witness faith, a journalist asked Eric Clapton the following question, quote, "How does it feel to be the greatest living guitar player?" And Clapton responded, quote, "I don't know. Ask Prince." My suggestion, going back to Prince's symbol, is it possible that through this completely admitted musical virtuoso, perhaps one of the most talented musicians, singers, songwriters, and developer of other artists in modern pop culture, is it possible, Doug and Joe, that we are looking at a representation of a counterfeit little G God, just the same as Paul McGuire has explained to all of us previously when we examine Nimrod and all of the little G gods following, typically represented by the all-seeing eye, the eye of Horus / Osiris?
Certainly, as also suggested by the icon with Twitter as it relates to Prince, despite the controversy surrounding its posting and reposting and such. But yes, the short answer is absolutely.
Absolutely. Well, the I said a moment ago, folks, that when you look at the death of Prince today, I would encourage the remnant body of believers, those of you who understand that we truly are in the 11th hour, 59th minute. I was speaking to, I believe it was Coach Dave yesterday, and I said, Coach, I feel like we are at the end of the age of the church, and we are emerging into the age of the second coming of the Messiah. When you look at Prince and his career, you can actually see that spiritual battle personified. Let me extrapolate that a little bit. Vanity, okay? Vanity was born Denise Katrina Matthews, and she passed away just a couple of months ago in February at the age of 57. She was a beautiful woman. She had a huge career in the mid-80s up to about the early 90s. And I chose intentionally not to go into some of her song catalog and discography because, frankly, some of the titles and what they would imply are not really appropriate for the Hagman & Hagman Report. But suffice it to say, Vanity was a protege of Prince. I will say this. She was known as being a very attractive woman who would perform in skimpy lingerie that would really be more appropriate, well, appropriate in quotes, in a Victoria's Secret catalog. But she died at age 57, Doug and Joe, back in February, and this is where it gets personal.
And just to be clear, folks, we're talking about the singer Denise Katrina Matthews.
Correct.
Born January 4th, 1959, in Niagara Falls, Canada. Just to be clear, but go ahead.
Thank you, Doug. So when we look at Vanity's life, and she was one of the original musical proteges. Now, Prince brought up Vanity. He brought up Sheila E. He worked with Sheena Easton. Obviously, Apollonia. We'll talk about her in a moment. He wrote songs for the Bangles. He wrote Manic Monday. He wrote Nothing Compares to You for Sinead O'Connor. Folks, these are huge hits. These are the kind of songs that, you know, make $10, $15 million easy off of one song. So Prince's influence far superseded Prince, the rock funk persona. Back to Vanity, Denise Katrina Matthews. In 1994, she seriously overdosed on crack cocaine. And in the course of that overdose, Doug and Joe, she says, and this comes from faithfullymagazine.com, oh no, I'm sorry, this comes from therap.com, that's where I grabbed the quote. She said that Jesus appeared to her, and he said, quote, now this is a quote, from Vanity, OD'd, on death's door, as she states Jesus appeared to her. And he said, quote, "Give up your vanity persona, and I will save you." Let's pause for a moment. Let that sink in. Give up your vanity persona, and I will save you. Now, we can doubt the veracity of that comment. We can doubt Denise Katrina Matthews. What we cannot doubt is you can go on YouTube and watch her testimony given in the pew of a church where, with tears flooding her eyes, she proclaims redemption by the blood of Christ. And she says that when she was working with Prince, she was so strung out on cocaine that she would have rather been dead, and that Jesus Christ saved her. Quote, "Give up your vanity persona and I will save you," unquote.
Interesting.
Isn't it?
And telling.
Yeah. I think
and
so.
People, and folks, you've got to, when we talk about this, and I just want people to really understand, we are talking about a level, we're talking about things that are taking place at a spiritual level that at least manifests itself at a spiritual level, in at least in my view, based on my research and investigations, that most people don't have a clue exists, or if they do, they might get a taste of it, but they don't understand or comprehend the depth at which this perversion and this spiritual battle, the battle between good and evil, operates. So we are seeing this play out in real time in the theater, well, in the real theater, that theater meaning the theater of entertainment, but also in the theater of good versus evil. I mean, so yes, and it's important, really, I believe it's not critical or vital, but it's important nonetheless for people to understand what we're seeing, why we're seeing it now, and what this portends. So go ahead, sir.
Doug, very well said. You just hit the nail on the head. And folks, I just want to reiterate and compliment what Doug just said. In my opinion, it is a studied opinion, both through open source material, but also through 16 years of working in Hollywood. What we're seeing, it's almost like, Doug and Joe, it's almost like God loves his people, both saints and sinners. Okay, and I sometimes day by day I wonder which side of those tracks I'm supposed to stand on. You know, it almost depends on when the last time I prayed was. It feels like sometimes, to be completely blunt about it. And you know, he loves us so much, folks, that if you're not paying attention to what's going on with Trump and with this crumbling democratic process and with the disappearance of our once great republic sort of sailing off the horizon of morality. If you're not paying attention to that, well, maybe you're paying attention to the banking situation and the global credit freeze. But if you're not paying attention to that either, you might be paying attention to Prince. And if you are, that's why I'm talking with all of you this evening about this, because it is germane in as much as you're witnessing through the lives of very famous, very wealthy people who have lived a lifestyle that most of us will never know. I've witnessed it, but I have not lived it. And I believe God is literally giving us the opportunity to examine the times we're living in. And when we jump, when we switch gears here in a few minutes, gentlemen, to our show this upcoming Wednesday night, which I'm so excited about, I just can't hardly stand it. But we're gonna touch on that. We're witnessing the personification, both in the secular mainstream music world, as well as the political arena, the banking arena, the GMO food, fluoridated water world, the militarization of police, you name it, all the way across the board, regardless of what piques your interest, whether you read Drudge Report or Huffington Post, it's all right there. And in my humble opinion, it's because God loves his creation enough that he's ringing all the alarm bells. If you don't pay attention to the Drudge Report, well, maybe you're paying attention to TMZ.com today. Back to Prince. Sheila E., who it was a drummer, a Latin-style drummer, as well as MC Hammer, they lamented on the death of Denise Katrina Matthews, Vanity. And interestingly, it gets kind of personal because Vanity died in Fremont, California, which is where I was born, Doug and Joe. And MC Hammer has made his home in Fremont for like 25, 30 years. And he and Sheila E. went on record with FaithfullyMagazine.com talking about their Christian faith relevant to Vanity's acceptance of Jesus Christ in 1994. And the bottom line, folks, is this. Vanity died in February 2016. But by her own admission and by her testimony, she accepted the blood of Jesus Christ in 1994. And that's what matters in Vanity's, you know, life, or the end of it, at this very moment. And that's really, at the end of the day, all that matters for all of us. I want to also mention that Sheila E. Was noted in ChristianHeadlines.com. She talked about her own conversion to Christianity. Now, Sheila E. was another very attractive woman. Prince groomed her. He brought her into the mainstream world. She sold a lot of records, and she capitalized on her sensuality as well. She had a couple of huge hits in the 80s and early 90s. But again, ChristianHeadlines.com, May 28th, 2002, Sheila E. talked about her conversion, her redemption through Christ, and then she talked about her recently released CD entitled Heaven, specifically pointing to songs with titles such as Joy, Waiting for You, River God, and Revelation. So again, we know that Prince adopted the Jehovah's Witness faith in 2001, but looking deeper into what they called the family, we see that God got a hold of Vanity, of Denise Katrina Matthews, and Sheila E., and MC Hammer. Now, MC Hammer was not really part of the Prince family, as it were, but nonetheless, he went on the record professing his faith in reminiscing about Denise Katrina Matthews' death. Now, I want to flip the script for a moment. This is the last bit I want to give you folks on Prince, and I kind of saved the dark element for last. Let's talk for a minute about Apollonia. Now, Apollonia was part of Prince's band, The Revolution, in their big hit-making days, post-Purple Rain, through Sign of the Times and some of the records that you mentioned in the last hour, Doug. And Apollonia said, in reference to Vanity's death, quote, this is from yourweb.com, quote, "A truly sad day for all of us who have been a part of the Prince family. Vanity was an inspiration for me and for all the ladies of the capital F family who followed." Remember what I said 15 minutes ago, folks. The rumor in Hollywood is that Prince was a practitioner, or at least a subscriber to the Ordo Templi Orientis doctrine, as penned by Aleister Crowley, of Thelema. Thelema is prevalent on Jay-Z's hoodie. It starts out, "Do what thou wilt," and then it says that love shall be the whole of the law. Incidentally, John B. Wells and I had a great dialogue about that last year on one of his shows. And so let's take a look at Apollonia. Her name is the feminized Apollyon, who Tom Horn has talked about as being one of the little g gods, who Tom Horn, much like Paul McGuire's research, believes are a counterfeit, that are quote-unquote reincarnated spiritually over and over again by Satan to deceive those who are not protected and under the blood of Christ. In speaking about Apollonia, Vanity's counterpart, they occupied the same place in Prince's band. Apollonia was the co-star of the 1984 film Purple Rain. And there is a scene, Doug and Joe, in Purple Rain where Apollonia is indicating to Prince that she wants to join his band, The Revolution. Okay? Apollonia, feminized Apollyon, wants to join The Revolution. And Prince is chiding her. He's sitting on his motorcycle and he says, "Well, if you want to join The Revolution, you need to purify yourself in the waters of Lake Titicaca." Well, Apollonia is game to do so, and she wants to join the revolution, so she strips down and wades out into a lake that they are standing next to, and she freezes and she splashes around for a moment, and she shows lots of, you know, plenty of skin in the scene. And then Prince laughs, and he looks at her, and he says, "That's not Lake Titicaca." So the final word I have on Prince for this evening is that Lake Titicaca, as pointed out by our friend Timothy Alberino, is actually on the border of Peru and Bolivia, and it is not only a highly symbolic geographic location for the occult, but it has been suggested by men who have researched this for much longer than I, that it is in fact the location of a very powerful intersection of ley lines, where in fact, going back even to our deceased brother Marcus's reports on the Hagman and Hagman report back in 2012 that these portals are opening and that we are now under a demonic invasion from the second gate. Folks, again, at Lake Titicaca in Peru on the border of Bolivia, and Prince tells Apollonia, if you want to join the revolution, you must purify yourself in the waters of Lake Titicaca. That's what I have tonight for you for Prince, gentlemen.
Interesting, and part of another little tidbit, this by a listener, Nicholas. Thank you, Nicholas. And the emails come fast and furious during our program. Prince's guitar player, Des Deckerson, in the revolution reportedly became a born-again believer in the Lord Jesus Christ as well. The interesting, the revolution did become a spiritual revolution, or so it seems, and it does fit well within the not the official narrative or accounting, but the spiritual battle that we are in which we are embroiled. And I say all of this, and again, I want to remind people that this is not, he didn't actually accidentally turn into, you know, American Bandstand After Dark, okay? this is relative and germane to the facts that we are seeing this incredible spiritual battle taking place, and we're seeing the battle for souls, and we're seeing this war that is overt, and some of it occult, meaning hidden, as well as occult, meaning perverse. So, but don't trust, folks. Do not trust what the media is reporting in and of itself. Don't take for granted, and these are just my words of caution from an investigative perspective. Don't take the official story for granted as the truth. Search what we're telling you for yourself and understand where this all fits into both the past as it relates going all the way back to the plains of Shinar and the Tower of Babel and the, you know, search for the one world, new world order, one world government. And it's interesting, too, you point out that there was a level of knowledge and rebellion or revolution by Prince in the latter times. This is very, very interesting.
Absolutely. You know, he is speaking just quickly of the level of rebellion, and I would be remiss if I didn't mention this. I touched on this at last month through the Watchman Conference, and Doug and Joe, I wanted to say incidentally, one of the greatest blessings of being down there was just being able to hang out with you guys. You know, I got to spend some time with your wives and had a great little lunch with Joe and both your wives, and it was just such a blessing to be able to just spend some sort of like almost some downtime, a little decompression time, you know, just to be able to crack a few jokes and break bread. And, you know, when we're on air together, of course, we're usually dealing with some pretty heavy stuff. And I think that it is incumbent on us to do so. I believe it's why the Lord has given us the opportunity to do so. But it was just great to spend time with both of you. And like I said, get to know your families a little bit. So, you know, God bless you both. That was really one of my favorite parts.
Thank you. It was great to spend time with you. And if I may, just very quickly, Joe, and I want to mention this too. You know what? I would really want to wish my wife a very happy birthday today. Today is her birthday. It's a big day for her. She, God bless her. I don't think I could, certainly, I know I could not do what I do without my beautiful wife.
She keeps us in line.
Yes. And
and happy birthday. And
25 lovely years married, and we've known her and been together with her, for longer than that. So
not only is it her birthday today, but your birthday is
we don't
tomorrow.
Need to talk about that. We don't need to talk about anything
tomorrow.
Like that, so
you'll be what, 68?
Yeah.
78?
Joe, get your hand off the can of beans.
I just want to wish again. I want to wish my wife. Sorry to take your time up, but I do have to. I do want to do this. I want to wish my lovely wife, who I love dearly, a very happy birthday today. And Thank you. So anyway, go ahead. Go ahead.
You know, God bless you, Doug. You know, I had not ever had the opportunity to really just have some one-on-one fellowship with her. And, you know, we sat there and had lunch, and Joe and his amazing wife as well, and a couple of the other people who were, that was what was so cool about that, about being all together in Dallas, is a couple of people just joined us because there were seats at the table, and I'm sure they were, you know, were thrilled to be able to interact with Joe and with the folks, you know, with the women that support. I mean, understand this, folks, that without these women who back Doug and Joe up, there is no Hagman and Hagman Report, okay? And, you know, Doug, your wife said something to me that really touched my heart. She looked at me and she said, you know, I still have the first letter that you ever sent us. And I thought, oh, that's such a sweet thing to say. And then she actually quoted a couple of things that I wrote in that letter. Doug, I wrote that letter to you guys, like, what, 3 or 4 years ago? I mean, that was really cool. She's a very special lady. And, you know, the next book you should write is How I Managed to Get a Woman Like That by Doug Hagman.
Well, it kind of is in the first book a little bit, but you know, yeah, and it's one thing that that we do, and she makes sure that we do is she handles all the incoming mail, which is one of the reasons why, you know, we get some pretty good, we get marvelous mail, postal mail from just so many great, fantastic listeners and people. And occasionally, and this is what angers me, and I must repent for my anger, but, you know, we get some idiots that send us, you know, they're, shall we say, used DNA in package form. And when you know, when my wife is subjected to that, I tend to get a little bit angry. And, but having said all of that, it's all good anyway. And, it's all, but you know, everyone is under, and I should mention this because of that, everyone is under attack. Those truth seekers and truth tellers in the new media. And I don't care whether it's Alex Jones or J.B. Wells or Rick Wiles or you name the, insert the name here. If we are talking about current events through a biblical perspective or even at the periphery of Bible scripture, we are under attack, and the attacks are increasing, folks, and it's going to happen to you. That's not to say, you know, it's not to say woe is us, because we're far from it, but it's to say, oh, you know, buckle up, because that's going to happen to you. And it may not be at the level or severity that we see it, but it's going to happen to you, and it's going to begin to encroach, you know, among your families, and it's going to cause divisiveness. And it already is in a large part. I get the letters. We get the letters too. And our, you know, my wife, she'll show me. And I mean, sometimes she'll show me a letter with tears in her eyes and say, you've got to really reread this. And, you know, it's so many people are suffering so much, and that suffering is only going to increase, but we have in our corner, in our favor, and with us, the promise that, the promise of our Lord and Savior. So, go ahead, John.
Amen. Thank you so much. You know, Doug, I have a favor to ask, and normally I wouldn't put you on the spot like this, but I want to talk about, this upcoming Wednesday, April 27th show. I feel spiritually moved right now. If you can hold me over for a couple minutes into hour three, I'd like to tell a quick story to the Hagman listeners that's about obedience and how God uses, well, it goes back to a Derek Prince sermon, one of my favorites, which is about hearing the voice of God. And in so doing, how if you choose to be obedient, he will bless you. So if you can spare 10 minutes on the other side of the break, I'd like to tell that story if you guys are into it.
Absolutely. I actually got a stack of note cards here I was doing yesterday on the topic of obedience, John. So that'll be good.
Oh, cool. Okay. Well, let's do this. We've got about 10, 12 minutes until the bottom of hour two. So let's jump into next Wednesday. Cause man, Doug, you talk about us being under attack, and folks, you better believe it. Now, you know, I'm fairly new around the shows. You know, God has been so trusting in me, and I sometimes pray with such a repentant and humble spirit. I'm like, Lord, why me? I mean, granted, my last name starts with R, but he was at the absolute back of his Rolodex, folks. And And yet he just, I guess it's like we often say, he doesn't call the qualified, he qualifies the called. And it can get really scary sometimes. And, you know, I'd like to say right now on the Hagman and Hagman Report here on the 21st, that we are just a lockstep, shoulder to shoulder, you know, chest upon back type of army right now that's about to march right through the gates of hell and trample on those serpents and scorpions. But folks, whereas that passion may live in our hearts and pray it into existence every day, we're not there yet. To be perfectly frank, I recall the words of my sensei when I used to study Shotokan. We used to do our katas, our forms, and he used to say, ah, like ripples on a pond. And that's what we need to go from, our ripples on a pond attitude, even in some cases toward one another. Well, you're this denomination, and I'm that. And I had a talk with Pastor Langford earlier today, and we'll touch on that in a second. We talked about the denomination issue, and he shared some insights with me. But, folks, here's what we're going to do. Wednesday, April 27th, this is going to be, Doug, it goes back to our conversation 3 weeks ago. Yeah. This topic is something that each and every one of you needs to hear. We're bringing to the Hagman and Hagman Report some of the most anointed, let's just call them what they are. I mean, this is some of God's heavy artillery that we're putting on the air 6 days from today. The title of the show, Doug and Joe, Hagman family, for our Wednesday, April 27th, Where is the Church? Are the Epistles Lost in the Mail? And what we're going to deal with is, where is the American church today? Okay? This isn't going to be a slam fest on the institutional church. We're not going to sit here and wring our hands and crank up the volume on the echo chamber. Oh, woe is me, the mega churches are defiling the temple, and they've monetized, you know, the money changers are in the foyer with the latte carts and the pastor's bestseller. We're not going to do that next Wednesday night, folks. What we're going to do is, we're going to take a really bare bones look at, we're going to go into a deep analysis of where the American church is today. What is it doing correctly? Where is it going wrong? Is there a leadership vacuum in the pulpit? And with all of this being looked at, being sort of placed out on the Hagman kitchen table, if you will, next Wednesday night, how do the Christian internet shows serve the remnant body? Hagman and Hagman Report, True News, The Weekend Vigilante, Caravan to Midnight, Coach Dave's show, Voice of Evangelism. How do these shows serve the remnant body, and where do they fall short? Because, of course, we know from Acts chapter 2, Doug and Joe, that there is a fivefold ministry of the original church, okay? And whereas these Christian internet radio shows, and folks, understand for a moment that in the larger media demographics, internet radio is brand new. It may seem kind of old school to some of us because we've been with the Hagman since the beginning, or since they went to the daily format. But most Americans out there don't even know what internet radio is yet. We are at the precipice. We're not close to the finish line. We're on the starting line. And how do these shows serve the remnant body? But where do they also fall short? Because part of fellowship and part of the church is the reciprocity of blessing and of anointing and of admonishment and accountability. So by their very nature, whereas Doug and Joe may be leaving a pint of sweat, pint of blood on the mics every night, it's more or less a one-way communication. And God bless you both. I know how many emails you answer a day. Actually, I don't, but I have a pretty good idea of how many emails you answer a day. And I know that you make yourselves as available to the listeners as possible. And so does JB over at Caravan, and Sheila and Coach Dave. But it's generally a one-way communication. So it cannot take the place of the church. You know, as Brother Flip pointed out to me on the phone 3 weeks ago, Doug, I think it was the same day that we talked about this show idea, Christ will build his church. We are to be obedient. We are to be like Nehemiah's men, shovel in one hand, sword in the other, okay? A mason trowel in one hand and a spear in the other. I liked what Flip had to say last week when we spoke. He said, John, so many of you guys are aggressive and you're anxious and you want to get in and you want to build that wall, referring to Nehemiah. What we need to do now, Brother Flip said, is just keep stay focused and just keep digging those fence post holes and trust that Jesus Christ will build his church, because that's what the inerrant word of God tells us he's going to do. And that's a, man, Doug and Joe, that is a challenging place to be, brothers, because, you know, guys like myself and Mike and Chance and all of the guests that you bring on, you know, with Paul McGuire and Russ Dizdar and Steve Quayle, we see this obvious void. And it's very natural. It's a natural inclination of man to want to give everything we've got to fill it. But as Flip gently reminded me last week, Christ will build his church. So back to next Wednesday's show, we are bringing on some serious insight and some serious scriptorians, men who have been in the fight for Christ for the majority of their lives. And they have been ridiculed, they've been maligned in the mainstream media by friends and even family for what they believe. Doug, with your permission, I'll just go ahead and give folks the batting order right now.
Yeah, go for it.
All right. Well, first of all, on Wednesday the 27th, for the first couple of minutes of Hour 1, it's my pleasure to introduce the Hagman Listening Family to a gentleman who is 19 years military service. Doug, you looked at his resume about a month ago. His name is Tim, and he is a brother up on the wall. He's the editor of Outlaw Patriot News, and he has been writing and posting articles about this very topic. Where is the church? And so we're just going to bring him on for a moment to talk about some of these articles. I know that Paul McGuire has linked a couple of them off of paulmcguire.us. But the majority of Hour 1, we're going to bring on Pastor Billy Crone from Las Vegas. Now, I talked to Pastor Billy earlier today. Folks, seatbelts, crash helmets, Ephesians 6 armor next Wednesday night. Hour 1, Pastor Billy Crone is going to talk about, he's going to give his analysis of where the church is. He's going to talk about what they're doing in Las Vegas, and he's going to talk about the fact that really we've got the playbook. It's 64 books, and it usually comes handsomely bound, but unfortunately not enough of us are looking at it. Hour number two, we're bringing on Pastor David Langford. I had the blessing to speak with Pastor Langford for a few moments earlier today, and hour number two, Pastor Langford will join, I should mention, by the way, Pastor Flip Benham and myself will carry the structure of the show along with Doug and Joe. So in hour one, you've got Flip Benham, myself, Doug, Joe, and Pastor Billy Crone.
Yeah, hour and John, two, if I can jump in here, just to let people know so they don't get confused, we've been doing Open Lines Wednesday for, I don't know, maybe the last 3 or 4 weeks. It's just so people understand, we're still going to do that this week or this next week, except for this show that John's talking about will be on Wednesday. We're going to move it to Thursday for this week alone, just so we're unable to bring all these people together except on this Wednesday. Otherwise, we would have kept it open for the phone line shows that we are doing. But we will continue to do the open phone lines. It'll be Thursday next week, and it will go back to Wednesday, where it will stay after that. But yeah, go ahead, John.
Well, by the way, I listened to last night's show in archive this morning. You know, I am never unimpressed by our brothers and sisters and their calls. I mean, it's just, I know we've talked about it a lot, but great, great calls last night, folks. Hour number one, Pastor Billy Crone out of Las Vegas. Hour number two, get ready for this. It's a tag team. Pastor David Langford and Pastor Flip Benham are going to dig deeper into the analysis of where the church is today and how these internet shows serve and nourish the remnant body, but also, as I said, where they fall short. And it's incumbent upon all of us to realize that the shows that Doug and Joe, they can't cover all of it. It's up to us not to forsake fellowship. Hour number three, we're going to be bringing on Coach Dave Dobenmeyer. Folks, he has known Pastor Flip Benham for 25 years, and the two of them are going to break out the big hammers. They're going to drop them on the anvil, and we're just going to let the sparks fly. Coach Dave, let me tell you, I talked to Coach Dave yesterday. He's always fired up, but he's really off the chain right now. So next Wednesday, April 27th, where is the church? Are the epistles lost in the mail? And we're going to hear from Pastor Billy Crone, Pastor David Langford, Pastor Flip Benham. I'll be present as well. And then we're going to bring in Coach Dave to get the troops riled up.
Sounds like a fantastic lineup, and it will be a great show.
Yeah, indeed. John, if I can go back, we've got a couple of questions about your knowledge about about Prince, and you've done a great job with respect to showcasing next week. That's gonna be a great show.
Thank you.
Let me go back here because we got a couple of listener questions based on your proximity to, well, being part of Hollywood here, and knowing some of the ins and outs with respect to Prince. Hannah Ford. Actually, a listener states that her band shared a stage with her when she was 18. This listener writes, "I fear for her now that she's been with Prince for the past few years." Do you know? Is Hannah Ford okay? Do you know Hannah Ford?
Here's the deal. It's a contentious topic. As I said, Hollywood doesn't like Prince.
Hannah Ford.
Okay. I have an email established for these types of questions. Understand that when you talk about some of this stuff, you're standing in direct defiance of Warner Brothers. Doug, with your permission, I'll give an email that she can direct that question to, and I'll answer it in a one-on-one in the email. I'm sorry to do that to the rest of the listeners, but I've got to stay healthy.
Okay, go ahead.
So she can email me, and I'm going to touch on this at the top of next hour. Most importantly, I want to tell the story about obedience, but email me at, we're starting a new show, by the way, and I'll touch on that next hour. Email me at info@brothersonthewall.com. info@brothersonthewall.com, and just put in the subject line Hollywood question or question for John, and I will answer that tomorrow. You'll have an answer by this time tomorrow evening.
All right. Very good.
I'm sorry to do that. I know it's a little bit of a cop-out, but I have to be very careful. Again, when you talk about Prince, you're talking about Warner Brothers, period. And I've got to be careful, guys. Sorry about that.
Not a problem at all. No worries whatsoever. Okay. So good. So we talked about next week's show. It's going to be good. We've talked about the Hollywood aspect with Prince. We're about 3 minutes to the top of the hour. Any closing thoughts this hour another one of our listeners writes, let me see here. Two more things here. China, the female wrestler and also I think porn star, passed away today as well. And a third, of course, Doris Roberts, passed away earlier this week, beginning of the week, which that saddened me, by the way, folks. I don't know Doris Roberts outside of what I saw of her in Everyone Loves Raymond. I think that was a sitcom, but she seemed like a nice lady. I don't know her outside of that. I don't know her personally. I do know a couple of actors, but I don't know her. By the way, Hannah Ford is a drummer like Sheila E. is. That's for people who don't know. This according to another emailer. And there was one other thing too I want to mention here. I'm getting inundated with, like I said, with emails. It's interesting too that where is it here? Here it is, right here. Scott writes this: Prince's song "Don't Let the Elevator Break Us Down." Oh no, let's go. It's prophetic, is it not, that he died, allegedly, ostensibly died on an elevator. Yeah, predictive programming thoughts. You know.
As we come up against the break, they're saying that he was treated for an overdose days ago now.
Not flu, huh?
No, there was some kind of drug overdose involved days before his death.
When we come to the top of the third hour, I just want to talk quickly about Michael Jackson's death, because these two are so, I don't want to say symbiotic, but they run so parallel. With regard to Hannah Ford, what I did not say, but I was kind of implying, is let me make a few phone calls tomorrow. I'm willing to do that. I don't want to speculate. And, you know, we're talking about people and their reputations here. So let me make a few phone calls tomorrow. And if that Hagman listener will again just email me at info@brothersonthewall.com, we'll take care of business.
All right. Stay with us, folks. Hagman and the Hagman Report. Again, time stamping and date stamping today, April 21st, 2016. And I'd just like to wish my wife a very happy birthday. I know she's listening. And thank you for being my wife, putting up with me.
We'll be right back with John Robertson after these short messages. Stay with us.
This is the Global Star Radio Network.